The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. A manhunt is on in Mexico for seven people identified as the kidnappers of the father-in-law of President Luis Echeverria. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Mexican authorities Saturday named seven people they say are prime suspects in last Wednesday's abduction of 83-year-old Jose Zuno Hernandez. Prior to making the announcement, Mexican authorities said very little. The release of the seven names gave rise to speculation the authorities may think Zuno Hernandez is already dead. More from George Natanson in Guadalajara.
Police had clamped a tight security lid on all developments in the investigation, fearing that police activities made public would endanger his life. Today's announcement gave names and aliases of the suspects and listed the addresses of a house here where the kidnap plan was said to have been hatched. The terrorists have demanded, among other things, the release of 10 fellow members of the People's Armed Revolutionary Front, now being held in prison, charged with having kidnapped a U.S. diplomat here last year. The plan called for the 10 to be dispatched to Cuba in a small plane with room only for the released prisoners and the pilot. Once airborne, however, the police said the 10 would have hijacked the plane and landed at a small airstrip near here where they would have been met by their fellow revolutionaries. George Nathanson for CBS News in Guadalajara.
More news in a moment. No energy crisis here. It takes a healthy swing to get the golf ball going. Good way to work off frustrations, too. But driving to the golf course is something else. Whether it's way out of town or in nearby suburbs, take it easy on that gas pedal when you're on the road this Labor Day weekend. Save the big spurt of energy for your game. A holiday's the time to play, but play it safe. We like having you as a listener to the CBS Radio Network.
I'm on the worst night scrubbing floors just to get the extra money to send me to college. Now the school needs money. And my chemistry class may be discontinued. Without chemistry, I'd never be a doctor. That's Mama's dream. She's always praying I get my degree. Now how am I gonna tell her what's happened to the school?
A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Give to the United Negro College Fund. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
President Ford is spending his first weekend as president at the mountain retreat in Camp David, Maryland. Earlier Saturday, Mr. Ford got in 18 holes of golf at the Burning Tree course in Maryland. Among the decisions the president will be pondering in the next few days is amnesty. Mr. Ford reportedly has some ideas of his own on the controversial question. Saturday, he got the views of two cabinet members, Defense Secretary Schlesinger and Attorney General Saxby. The Pentagon reportedly favors conditional amnesty, allowing draft dodgers and deserters to come back home only if they agree to put in some time in non-military service and to make public reaffirmations of allegiance to the American flag. U.S. Army deserter Ronald Anderson is safely back in Canada after spending nearly a week in the Army stockade at Fort Lewis, Washington. Anderson, arrested a week ago Saturday, was released after Canada filed a protest saying he was on Canadian soil when picked up near the Washington border with British Columbia. The Canadian government requested his return. In Abbotsford, British Columbia, Anderson was asked if the incident gave him any new bitterness toward the United States.
I realized it was my risk to try to enter the United States, and that I was fully aware that there was a warrant for my arrest, and I decided to take my chance. And they apprehended me. Unfortunately, it was an illegal apprehension on their part. Now I'm back here safely, and of course, going to chance it again.
Anderson says what happened to him should be a lesson for other deserters who try to sneak back into the U.S. Yugoslav authorities are blaming human error and excessive speed for Friday night's passenger train derailment at Zagreb. Authorities say more than 150 people were killed, about 150 others hurt. The train failed to slow down when it pulled into the Zagreb station, and the cars jumped the tracks. Now this.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. A used or abandoned refrigerator or freezer is an invitation to a lively, curious youngster. Unfortunately, this tempting playhouse can be an invitation to death. You know, to a child, the abandoned unit is a hiding place, a playhouse, or a jail in which to lock up outlaw playmates. The child doesn't realize that a refrigerator is constructed to be airtight to preserve food.
And so a child trapped in a closed refrigerator can suffocate in less than 10 minutes. However, it would take you less than 10 minutes to prevent these needless tragedies by removing the door, locking it open with rubber bumpers or wooden blocks, or securing the door closed with a chain and padlock or heavy tape. It may also be possible to remove or modify the latch so the door can't be shut tightly. As an extra precaution, leave the shelves in your refrigerator. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau.
A U.S. Air Force plane sets out from California on Sunday to try to establish a new world's record for flying time between New York and London. An SR-71 reconnaissance jet will be timed starting at the point when it flies over New York, and officials think it'll only take it a little over 2 hours after that to fly by London. That would be just half of the old record. In 1969, a British Royal Air Force plane set a record of 4 hours, 46 minutes for the flight. The SR-71 can fly at a speed of 3,100 feet per second. That's faster than the speed of a bullet fired from a 30 caliber rifle. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for continued cool temperatures with night and morning cloudiness or fog. Partial clearing during the afternoons through Labor Day. Highs in the mid-70s, lows in the mid-50s with no chance of rain. And currently it's 62 degrees. Taking a look at sports and Major League Baseball activity today in the National League. San Francisco over St. Louis, 3-2. New York beat Atlanta 6-5. Cincinnati 10, Montreal 3. Philadelphia dumped Houston 10-6. And Pittsburgh beat Los Angeles 4-3. In the American, Texas over Cleveland, Baltimore defeated Kansas City, Detroit took Oakland, Milwaukee edged California, and Minnesota beat Boston. In National Football League exhibitions, Philadelphia 24, New York Giants 21, Atlanta 23, Baltimore 7, Minnesota beat St. Louis 14-10, and New Orleans over the New York Jets. The time, 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. Once upon a time, there was a poor and common man named Matthew Maul, who owned a couple of acres that were desired by a rich and titled man named Colonel Pynchon, who wished to build a house on the property. Since the colonel could not acquire the land by lawful means, he took others. The year was 1650, and he connived to have Matthew Maul declared a wizard, condemned to die on the scaffold, which is where our story begins.
Quiet! 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 You have not heard the last of Matthew Maul. You or your children... or your children's children. In particular, you, Colonel Pynchon, and all the family who follows you. Look at him, everyone, as a dying man makes a promise. Colonel Pynchon, God will give you and yours blood to drink.
This is the story of my long revenge, which began with the moment my adversary first entered his new-built house, with his portrait locked into the paneling above his desk chair. For there, the first of the Pynchons, the Colonel Pynchon who sent me to my death, was found dead, drowned in his own blood. The doctors called it apoplexy, but we know better. Death brought him blood to drink, the first of much, for his house was doomed.
Our mystery drama, The House of the Seven Gables, was especially adapted from the Nathaniel Hawthorne classic for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Norman Rose.
It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way. The right way. Naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
How many things can your family do together? Go to a movie? Go to a circus. Go on a picnic. Go on a vacation. Face it, in today's America, family fun is hard to come by. And with busy schedules, just getting the family together is not an easy thing to do. How would you like to have a little family fun every week? How would you like to learn together? How would you like to grow together? And how would you like to help your son get an edge on growing up? Cub Scouting is helping families like yours be a family. It sure helped ours. Today's Cub Scout program is just as much for families as it is for boys. So when your son wants to join a Cub Scout pack, remember to take along the whole family. That's what Cub Scouting is all about. For the Cub Scout pack nearest you, call the Boy Scouts of America. They're in the white pages of your phone book.
Halfway down a by street in one of our New England towns stands a rusty wooden house with seven acutely peaked gables facing towards various points of the compass and a huge clustered chimney in the midst. So begins the second novel written by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And to tell you the rest of it, here is the tortured, uneasy spirit of the wizard Matthew Maule, who died before his time and left a curse that endured for over two centuries.
Years in my grave, and yet I rise from it as casually as an ordinary man from his bed. I am seen as easily at noon as I am by the witching hour. I am an extraordinarily pestilent ghost, and I have left an estate which will mangle and torture and destroy at last the whole clan of Finchons. Shall we take a case in point?
Yes? Well, what is it?
You sent for me, Mr. Pynchon. The name is Matthew Maule, son of him who built this house for your grandfather, grandson of the rightful proprietor of your soil.
Oh, the ancient dispute. That matter has been settled by competent legal authorities.
In favor of the family Pynchon?
Self-evidently. I am in residence, and you are not.
Then stay here and rot.
A moment, Mr. Maule. Will you attend me in the living room?
At your request. To what purpose?
Well, perhaps to our mutual interest. There's a legend that my family... That, to be precise, the same Colonel Pynchon who looks down on us from above the living room fireplace here, had a deed to certain vast real estate holdings from an Indian grant. Holdings of incalculable value.
I've heard the story.
Are you also aware that in the settlement of the estate, no deed was found to lay claim to them?
Oh, yes.
Well, his claim was on the verge of settlement when my grandfather
died suddenly in answer to my grandfather's curse of apoplexy, which is, in non-medical terms, not far from literally drinking one's own blood. I did not bid you here to renew old quarrels, simply to make you a proposition. Very well, I'm listening. There's a rumor that whatever quarrel lay between our ancestors, yours was the one made the best bargain in the long run. By being hanged? However he died, he was only a step or two ahead of the colonel. For while the colonel won out in buying and owning the land Seven Gables stands on, he lost a kingdom when the deed to half the state of Massachusetts was lost. Or hidden. Mr. Pynchon, what is your proposition? Your father was the architect of this house. He might have secreted the papers somewhere or built some hidden chamber for them, which my ancestor, Colonel Pynchon, died too suddenly to reveal. I would be willing to pay well for information leading to them. I cannot believe the Colonel would have concealed something that was not his to hide. There might be a chance for you to recover those papers.
Hmm?
How? I'll make a contract with you. This house and the property for the papers, if I can locate them.
No! No, damn me, if I'll permit it!
Did you say something, sir?
No.
Why? I could have sworn I heard a voice.
I'll meet your bargain if you can find the Indian Grant.
I'll need some help. I don't know where the papers are, or if they exist. I do know that to locate them, I need the help of a medium.
I don't understand.
You have a young daughter named Alice. Bring her here. From outside the oriel window, poured with frost against the roaring fire within, I watched my grandson toy with this Pynchon, whose only desire was to flee the dread house and live abroad. And by virtue of my right as a man taken before his time, I kept invading Matthew's mind and making it mine as far as I desired.
My daughter, Alice, may I present Mr. Matthew Maul.
My pleasure, Mr. Maul.
Will you be seated?
Father?
Do as he asks.
Very well.
Now, I ask you to fix your eyes on mine. From the moment that gentle girl raised her eyes, she was ours, mine. It was enough, perhaps, that already the Mauls had the reputation that they could enter people's dreams and that no grave could hold them. By now, there was a further belief that they could mesmerize the unwary. There is your daughter, Mr. Pynchon. Speak to her.
Alice! Alice, answer me!
Oh, softly, softly, Mr. Pynchon. Is it my crime you have sold your daughter for the hope of getting back a sheet of yellow parchment?
What would you do with her?
Why, only as you asked. Use her as a medium to try to make you rich.
How?
You'll see. Unless you wish to call our barter deal off.
I... No! No! But proceed in God's name.
Very well. Listen to me, Alice Pynchon. Listen with your mind. Cast off your body. Think. Think back away through the years, but cling to me. Let him who holds the secret of the Indian land deeds come forth peaceably and without delay. Call him.
I know not who he is.
Then ask.
Colonel Pynchon? Great-grandfather, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Call on my grandfather, whom your great-grandfather hanged.
Matthew Maul? Matthew Maul? Are you there? Speak.
I hear you in the grave, Miss Pynchon. Oh, what rare sport to watch your father Gervase shivering in mortal dread, and you, my fine lady, no more responsible for your actions than a puppet. And my grandson, speaking words and using powers only I could confer on him. But the secret? The secret I am not yet ready to divulge.
Enough! Enough! Would you kill the child? Bring her to...
Without your answer?
Have you not found it?
Only this. Your grandfather's secret is one he must choke with until it is of no further value. So, keep the House of Seven Gables.
Wake my daughter from her trance.
As far as I can.
What mean you?
Well, she will walk and live and breathe. But...
But what, man?
I meant no harm. I meant only to humble you and yours. I did not mean to steal her soul, but... I'm afraid that is lost. The years rolled by, and generation by generation, I took my toll on the Pynchon brood. The once proud family dwindled and thinned out. I have had little need to move my rusty bones or decaying flesh, since they have wrought their own destruction, save till now. But in this century, I must arise again.
Ah, Cousin Hepzibah.
Geoffrey Pynchon, what brings you to Seven Gables?
Why, I take it since you have opened a one-cent store, it is open to any member of the public?
Not to you. Never to you. Judge.
Judge not, that ye shall be judged. Well, surely after all these years, and in respect of what I've just arranged for Clifford...
You are not welcome in this house.
Not even in a public shop, Hepzibah Pynchon.
The shop is a necessity, now more than ever.
Because of Clifford's return? Oh, surely you know if you're in need you can call on me. Or bring your brother and yourself to live on my estate. Oh,
you know I will take no charity from you, now or ever. How dare you offer it after what you've done to Clifford?
I?
Yes, you hate him. For what reason, I know not. But hate him you do.
You do me wrong, sweet cousin. But I am a forbearing man. I bear what crosses God sends me to bear. I will not trouble you more now, but... wait for Clifford's return.
Four Pynchons are left. Nearsighted, angular, tall Hepzibah in her rusty black. The smiling, fat, oily Judge Geoffrey Pynchon, who so closely resembles the portrait of that black-hearted colonel who hangs in the massive gold frame in the living room and who hanged me by the living neck. Two yet we are still to meet.
Oh, bless my soul, the omnibus. And stopping before my shop door. It can't be Clifford yet. No. Then who is it?
Cousin Hepzibah. Cousin Hepzibah. Well, don't you know me?
Cousin? No Pynchon ever looked as lovely as you, child.
Cousin Hepzibah, you flatter me, but you can't deny it. I am your country cousin. And my mother sends you her love and regards and hopes my visit to you will not put you out.
Your visit? You intend to stay?
Didn't you get my mother's letter?
No.
I don't understand about the letter.
Oh, it doesn't matter now. You're here. But, child, I don't see how you can stay.
Oh, I don't expect to be a guest. I mean to earn my bread. I can find plenty to do, cousin. The garden and flowers and the chickens will keep me out in the open air, and I can't help in the shop. Please let me stay.
My
Well, you can stay at least the night. But in any case, the decision whether or not you remain at the House of Seven Gables is not up to me. Tomorrow, its master returns home. My brother Clifford, who is coming home at last.
I think I remember my mother and father mentioning him, but as though he were dead. Where has he been?
In prison.
Prison? Why?
For the murder of our uncle, the judge's father, Geoffrey Pynchon.
One other young and unsuspecting girl, Alice Pynchon, came to grief under the shadowed gables of this brooding old house. Is another to share the same fate? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act Two.
Sometimes a gentle rain in one place adds up to a raging torrent in another. A torrent that can uproot lives as well as trees. To remedy the things that can be remedied in a disaster, America has a unique emergency force, the American Red Cross, America's good neighbor. Red Cross is on call 24 hours a day, every day, to cope with emergencies, whether they're on the next block or a continent away. Most of the help that's given is from volunteers. The money's from volunteers, too. Volunteers like you. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people. Just like you.
People can reach. People can touch. People can help. People so much.
If you can remember World War II, you can remember when people spoke about cancer in a whisper. Once it was known someone had cancer, nobody talked about it. I'm Paul Newman. Today we talk about cancer quite openly, except for one form of it, the one nobody likes to talk about still, cancer of the colon and rectum. It's the most common form of internal cancer, yet doctors estimate 3 out of 4 patients could be saved by early detection and treatment. That means when you have your regular health checkup, especially if you're over 40, talk to your doctor about a Procto. Fight cancer with a checkup and a generous check when your American Cancer Society volunteer calls. Cancer Crusaders, people who care about people.
This is not my story, so let me quote from the man who first told it. The mysterious Clifford is about to return. And here is how he is foreshadowed in conversation between Miss Hepzibah Pynchon and the newly arrived Phoebe.
31 years ago, my uncle, master of this house, was found dead beneath the portrait of our ancestor, Colonel Pynchon. Death was accountable, the authorities decided, to a blow on the head. Since the desk and his private papers had been rifled, it was suspected that it was robbery and accidental murder committed to avoid discovery.
By Cousin Clifford?
Oh, I shall never believe that. Oh, you will see for yourself when he returns how gentle, sweet, unworldly. Oh, Clifford could never have been guilty.
I'm sure from that kindly face you showed me in the miniature, he was wrongly judged.
No question of that. Just as I am sure that Cousin Geoffrey, why I cannot understand, was the one most instrumental in sending him there.
How could that be?
It was he who discovered Clifford by the rifle desk, our uncle lying on...
Oh, hush. Dear Cousin Hepzibah, think of the present and not on the past. Soon Cousin Clifford will be home again. Surely it grows very late if he is covering today.
Oh, well, you'd best off to bed. Perhaps I should greet him alone. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, how shall I manage?
May I help, Cousin Hester?
Oh, I'm all thumbs when it comes to cookery. You see, I've lost whatever art I had all these years alone. And I wanted Clifford's first breakfast to be so tasty.
You have a fire going bright enough to chase the morning dusk. Since the oven is hot, would you like me to bake an Indian cake?
Oh, it was Clifford's favorite all those years ago.
Well, then bake it I shall. What else can I do?
Oh, well, the coffee. Real mocha, if you would grind it.
We'll make a breakfast fit for a king.
A tired, sad king, worn out by exile.
Is he not well?
You shall see for yourself soon enough, dear Phoebe. Oh, hush, hush, he's coming. Let him see you first, Phoebe. He likes bright faces, and mine is old, set in a scowl. Clifford, dear, let me help you.
The weakness is locked inside, Hepzibah. Nothing you or anyone can help. But we are not alone.
No, he is Phoebe. Phoebe, Arthur's only child. You remember, I told you about her last night.
Phoebe Pynchon. Phoebe. Ah, Arthur's child. Yes, I forget. You are welcome.
Thank you, Cousin Clifford.
Oh, come sit here. Take this chair.
Is this you, Hepzibah? How changed. How changed. And are you angry with me?
Oh, why should I be angry?
And why do you bend your brow so?
Oh, Clifford, there is nothing but love here. If I scowl, it is only habit that has gone before.
Cousin Hepzibah is only worried and concerned that you should be happy.
Then why do we keep that odious picture on the wall? Why can't we... What is that sound?
Why, that is... Phoebe, will you answer it?
Of course.
That is the tinkle of the shop bell.
Shop bell?
Yes, sir.
Ah, then, has Miss Hepzibah's shop opened under such favorable circumstances that she needs an assistant as attractive as you?
I'm a cousin of hers, on a visit from the country.
Well, in that case, I suspect you are a kinsman of mine. Let's see, Oh, yes, little Phoebe Pynchon. I am your kinsman, Judge Pynchon. My little niece. Oh, surely I must pay you welcome. You resist me.
I had not meant to.
Oh, it's quite right, quite right. A young girl, especially a very pretty one, cannot but be chary of her lips.
I did not mean to be unkind.
Oh, I accept that. But are you afraid of something?
Nothing I know of.
I'll just step in and...
What do you want, Geoffrey?
Why, simply a short visit with my...
No. He cannot see visitors.
I warned you to take care. Clifford is on the brink of a blacker fate than yet possessed him. I need to see him.
No, no, Hepzibah. Don't let him in. Beg him on your knees if you must. Ask him to have mercy. Mercy.
You heard.
I heard. But must I... You will not let me see him.
I want to protect him.
As you will. But you do me great wrong, cousin. I only wish to help him. I will find some other way.
He seemed kind. Is his offer of help so wicked?
Oh, Phoebe, he has a heart of iron. Oh, let me go back to rejoin my poor brother at breakfast. Of all of us, he's the one who most needs protection now.
Don't do it, lady.
What?
Drink from that. Or even wash your face.
I was only looking at my reflection in it. May I ask who you are, sir?
Oh, forgive me. Miss Pynchon has not mentioned me.
Mr. Holgrave, the boarder.
The same, at your service. And you must be Miss Phoebe. Which gable is yours?
Oh, my window is the one... Perhaps it is more seemly to ask the question of you, sir.
By all means. I count mine the 7th, since it is by all odds the most remote and separate. See, up yonder, beyond the eaves.
You live there all alone?
A question hard to answer, Miss Phoebe.
Why?
In the House of the Seven Gables, is anyone truly alone? It's hard to tell whether the rats outnumber the ghosts, or vice versa.
Then why pick it as a lodging by free will?
If you must know, I can afford little, and the rent suits my purse. The house also suits my profession.
Your profession?
Mm-hmm. I'm a maker of daguerreotypes.
How fascinating. Can you really point a machine at someone and make a likeness of them?
I can. Do you doubt it?
Why, it sounds like a kind of magic to me.
Technically, in its way. But the result is a quite faithful reproduction of the subject. For example, this.
Oh, you created this?
I recreated this, shall we say.
It is a likeness.
Never mind the likeness. Miss Phoebe, look deeper. What kind of man is this?
Why, by all effects, a man of probity, of kindness, of property.
Is the picture that alone? Or can one look deeper?
Not knowing the subject, I don't see how.
Look at that eye. In the midst of a sunny countenance, speaking of an open heart. And yet, observe carefully the cast in the eye, the line of jaw, the subtle twist of mouth. Here is the man. The true man, sly, subtle, imperious, hard, and withal as cold as ice. Do you recognize him now?
Judge Pynchon. Still, there's some other resemblance.
The daguerreotype is of the living judge. The resemblance is quite marked. Give or take the style of whisker, the fashion of cloth, the bloat of jowl, it could be the original Colonel Pynchon who choked on his own blood.
Why have you this picture?
For the same reason, I wish to have all the Pynchon clan. Miss Phoebe, will you sit for me sometime?
Aye.
In any history, one must balance the good against the bad.
Who are you?
A recorder of history by choice. Miss Hepzibah's lodger by chance. Will you sit for my portrait of you?
To what end?
That is beyond my power to say at this moment. Only that I can promise you, you are safe from any harm.
And what do I get out of it?
Well, first, what you put into it. Second, a record of your beauty. And third...
And third...
No less than your future, one way or another.
Then how can I refuse?
My object was to make sure, as best I could, that you shouldn't. For once, I was resting more secure in my rotting grave. The urge to wander grasped me less. The Pynchon dynasty was a sorry lot at best, save one. And a new dynamic force was guiding my course to its resolution. It was time to start to pull my winding sheet more closely about me and begin to leave the future to itself. But not yet. The curse was not yet played out.
The mysterious Mr. Holdgrave. Who is he? What threat does he pose to Phoebe? Perhaps the only breath of sanity to blow sweetly through the dusty corridors and winding staircases of both the Pynchon history and the house that encloses the living, as tight and inescapable as the coffin in the grave. We'll return shortly with Act 3.
Excuse me, madam.
Oh, I'm in an awful hurry.
I just wonder if you could answer a simple question
so
for me.
So do I.
The question is this.
What?
What happens this time of year?
Oh, that's easy. The kids get home from camp. Goodbye.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
No.
I mean, I should know when my kids get home from camp.
Well, the answer I had in mind was a tad more general in scope.
Well, I gave my answer. Let's hear yours.
You know, I'm glad you asked.
Are you?
You see, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving particularly great deals on all their 74 Buicks. For a family woman such as yourself, I think a neat little Apollo would be just the ticket. It's small, economical, but surprisingly roomy. And it's a Buick, so it's really quite elegant.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that good news?
Yes.
I mean, that you can get such a nifty deal on such a nifty small car.
To be sure it is, yes.
To be sure. By the way, where do your kids go to camp?
Guam. It's a small island in the South Pacific.
Guam.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
And Lou, this fellow is at the door about the home repair, you know, and he wants me to sign the contract now. What'll I do?
You don't have to sign that contract now, madam.
You're not Lou. Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau with some advice to help you to protect yourself. Read all the documents before you sign and take your time. He'll come back tomorrow. And incidentally, keep a copy of any form you do sign. And be sure you understand what you're signing.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for, to help protect consumers like you.
Two centuries, the curse of the hanged wizard Matthew Maul has hung like a cloud over the House of the Seven Gables. The dark, deteriorating, rat-infested, and ghost-ridden house has outlived its time. Only the family to which it belongs hangs on to some distant remnant of the past.
There, Cousin Clifford. Safe in your little eyrie and retreat.
I trust you, Phoebe, to find me this spot in my private gable. Why, from here I can see all the world.
The bustle of our little town, certainly.
How free I feel after all those years. I have the wildest impulse.
What, Cousin Clifford?
Are you too young, perhaps, to remember when we blew soap bubbles? A glass of soapy water.
And a clay pipe.
Yeah, the pipe I still have.
Well, the soapy water I can provide.
But the lost years, where can they be found again?
I wish his life were more than a shadowed gable overlooking the street.
My cousin Hepzibah, to watch the whole stream of life flow by is at least an introduction to the thought of returning to it.
Oh, well, perhaps you're right. Here's your soapy water. Take it to him to blow bubbles.
My window on the world, Phoebe.
The best vantage point in town.
You picked it for me. And without your support and love and interest, I suppose I should have just let the world go by.
Well, you can't do that if it's passing right by your feet.
Dear little Phoebe, you almost make me human again. That band coming by. Open the windows so that the sound can rumble into this lost, dark gable.
There! Is that better?
I scarcely know. I get infected with strange madness. Like when I blew the soap bubbles in one burst on Jeffrey's head. Perhaps I should never get too close to life.
What do you mean?
You know the feeling when you're on a height. It is exciting, exhilarating, until you look down. Then there is this wild compulsion to throw yourself, to dash yourself to the ground.
But Cousin Clifford, everyone feels that.
Save that everyone doesn't do it.
Of course not.
Save me. I cannot help myself.
No. No, stop.
Let me go.
No.
I can't help myself.
But I can. Cousin Elzebub. Cousin Elzebub.
You can't stop me. Nothing can stop me.
Oh, help. Help. Stop him, please. Please stop him.
Good morning, Miss Phoebe.
Mr. Holgrave, how can I thank you?
For what?
For answering to my cry. For helping me hold back my cousin Clifford.
It's only fortunate that I was nearby.
I don't know how to explain.
Why should any of us try to explain the human effort, drive, psyche? We all react to our impulses and dreams to a greater or lesser degree. Did your cousin really want to jump?
I was with him. I could scarce hold him. Why would he pretend?
Why, indeed. At least there was no disaster. I'm glad I was part of avoiding that.
I can never thank you enough. How can I do something in return?
Sit for me. Let me make a daguerreotype of you.
That's simple enough. But why?
I wish I felt myself free to answer that completely, but... Well, at least one obvious reason. There should be some permanent record of your beauty.
I'm afraid you overstate your case. Or my case. So I must admit that even if you had not half admitted it, I would suspect you of some ulterior purpose.
You never have quite trusted me, have you?
It's just that I sense you... You are not quite what you seem to be. But... Oh, I don't know what I feel. What do you want my image for?
Say that I want a record of the Pynchon family.
And that alone?
No. My other purpose, I must keep to myself.
I could refuse.
I hope you won't.
It would be ungracious of me. I offered to do something in return for helping save Cousin Clifford's life. When?
The sooner the better. There is a skylight in my gable room. The afternoon light would be perfect. If you'll meet me there at 5, I'll be ready for you. I never thought to see the day I would harbor any kindly thoughts for any Pynchon. But I find I have it in my heart to accept poor, withered Hepzibah and a half-mad Clifford. And as for Phoebe, well, she shall have an unseen protector observing from beyond the skylight window. There now, Miss Phoebe, we're ready to begin.
Should we not have the door open and the windows unshuttered?
Oh, no. I want no other light source than what strikes across my shoulder to you from above. And we must catch it now. All right, are you ready?
What must I do?
Well, lift your eyes to mine, above the lens. So, now, relax. Think of something soothing. Blue sky. The ripples on a sunlit pond. Oh, yes. Yes, that's lovely. Don't try to smile. Just stay in repose. When I expose the plate, you must not move for 20 to 30 seconds. Now, take a deep, slow breath and hold it. Now. Now the plate is exposed. Silvered copper on which a film of silvered iodide has been formed by iodine vapor. The sands are dropping through my minute glass. And slowly, slowly, your image develops on the plate. This one half minute, I hold you mesmerized, only to make you immortal. Never to be forgotten. To last till the end of time. Now, you may relax. It's all over. Phoebe? 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 I've mesmerized her. Phoebe! Oh, God help me to resist my evil desire. Phoebe! Phoebe! Forgive me if now I say what I have not dared to say to you, nor ever will, perhaps, so long as you are a Pynchon. Phoebe, I love you. Love you with all my heart. Have loved you since that first moment I saw you in the garden. I have not, cannot dare to hope when all is known that you could return that love. Yet here, at this moment, with you completely in my power, I could cast a spell on you that would hold you forever mine. No. No, Phoebe. Rather that you were never mine than to hold you bound to me against your will. Phoebe Pynchon, can you hear me?
I hear you.
You are safe. You know that.
Safe.
You will have no memory of the trance you are in now.
No memory.
And when you wake, you will feel refreshed and your same lovely self. You promise me?
I promise.
Then, when I snap my fingers, wake.
Oh. Is my portrait all finished?
Yes, Phoebe.
May I see it?
Oh, no. I have much to do before that. This one, I want to color. I would not have you see it in black and white.
Oh, then I shall have to wait to look at it till I return.
Return?
I must go home to visit my mother and father and bring back the rest of my clothes.
You intend to stay on Seven Gables, then?
Cousin Clifford needs me. And Cousin Hepzibah. I think it is my duty.
To wither and dry up like them? Before God, I pray you find some better fate. Some better fate indeed. Back in my grave, my bones are ready to settle to eternal sleep, and the curse is ready to be wound up. And the day after Phoebe left became the beginning of the end. Look at him, striding along the street toward the 1 cent shop. The picture of a man who owns most of the world and who intends to clutch the rest of it to him. The 200-year reincarnation of the Pynchon who put me 6 feet under. Judge Jaffrey Pynchon.
Oh, Judge Pynchon.
Yes, Cousin Hepzibah, the same.
What do you want?
Well, what else, Cousin, but to have done with all this? I want to see Clifford.
No.
It is my purpose to do so before I leave this house.
Haven't you done enough to him?
30 years ago, our uncle died. His immense fortune was left to me, save for your life interest in this property and the house of the Seven Gables.
To Clifford, not to me.
Some months before our mutual uncle's death, Clifford boasted to me that he knew the secret of incalculable wealth. I believe that at this moment, if Clifford retain his wits and, if he chooses, he can tell me where the riches can be found, if he chooses.
And if he can't, or doesn't?
Back to the dungeon. I'll await your bringing him in here in the old colonel's chair. It should, in any case, have been mine by right.
I wish you ill of it, but I shall go find Clifford.
So come the years full circle. Revenge is as dusty in my mouth as these old bones which moldering cry for eternal rest. Only one more remains who deserves his fate. The same one that overwhelmed his liberish ancestor, who still pouts like a peacock in the frame of the portrait behind the judge's head. God, give him blood to drink.
No. My watch. Wait. I have appointments to keep, important things to do.
Drink deep and die, and dies the curse with you. I found him here, Phoebe. Dead of apoplexy, the last of his line.
But Hepzibah and Cousin Clifford...
They inherit the judge's country estate, bright with sunlight, with no dark gables to hem them in. I've already moved them there.
I'm so bewildered. What shall I do now?
Phoebe, I have an offer.
What?
Well, first, let me reveal who I am, and what I know. A 2-century-old secret guarded to prove that might is not always right. Look, the curlicue pattern around the portrait. So many bits of detail, and only one that holds the power to... open the vault where the ancient document lies behind the portrait. All that blood for a piece of parchment, clothed in the dust of 200 years and not worth even the paper it's written on. A sad and silly secret handed down to me.
But who are you?
Like you, the last of the Pynchons, I am the last of the Maules. Matthew Maule. And with the end of the family curse, I feel reborn. Or will if...
If what, Matthew?
Shall we end it all? Will you marry me, Phoebe, whom I love beyond all, and put an end for good to family feuds and tragic doom?
Oh, yes, Matthew. Yes. On one condition.
You have only to ask.
That we leave and shut up forever. The House of the Seven Gables.
For several years, the house still stood. There were those who, passing it after dark, swore they could hear the tinkle of the harpsichord Alice Pynchon once used to play, the sound of the 1-cent shop bill, the cough of a man choking. But in a very few years, this had little of flesh or blood left in it, like all legends about haunted houses. This one's only special claim to fame was that it had, if you counted them, 7 gables. I'll be back shortly.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
Tees for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, D.
Oy. We could go on all day.
Oh.
Here's why.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into Action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
It should come as no surprise that Judge Jaffrey Pynchon was the one who really murdered his uncle. To have made Gentle Clifford the scapegoat was reason enough for Matthew Maule to reach that powerful hand once more from the grave and exact what so seldom happens to the villains of this world. Due retribution. Our cast included Norman Rose, Arnold Moss, Bryna Rayburn, Jada Rowland, and Stats Cotsworth. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
He asked me to accept the statue.
Couldn't you tell him that I can't?
I told him. I even told him I couldn't accept it as a gift either.
Well, so how does it happen that it's sitting
Well, he said, let me sell it to you.
Sell it?
Let me sell it to you, he said, for $50.
$50? It's worth at least $1,000.
Don, he convinced me we might need this statue one day.
Honey, for what?
Who knows? Anyhow, it's my statue. I have the bill of sale made out to me. Now, what would you like me to wish for?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. And Ella, I want your word of honor that you will never, never use that statue to wish for anything.
But, Don...
I want your promise.
But you can't be serious.
Look, I'll tell you how serious I am. If you ever make a wish on that statue, I will break up our marriage.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. Continued cool with night or morning cloudiness or fog. Partial clearing during the afternoons through Labor Day. Highs mid-70s, lows in the mid-50s, no chance of rain. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 60 degrees at 11 o'clock.
CBS News. A hurricane threatens two islands in the Caribbean several hours from now. In the American Southwest, some rough weather hit Saturday afternoon. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Hurricane Carmen, with top winds up to 90 miles an hour, is churning the waters in the northern part of the Caribbean Sea at this hour. Later this morning, Carmen may pass near Grand Cayman Island and Swan Island. Carmen is already blamed for causing one death Saturday in Jamaica. Parts of Arkansas and Oklahoma Saturday afternoon got some bad weather. Heavy rain flooded roads in Arkansas, including a stretch of Interstate 67 between Emmett and Hope. Idabel, Oklahoma got a bad electrical storm. A 9-year-old boy was killed there when struck by lightning. More news in a moment.
Are you sure you want to take a sloppy Joe for lunch, Bobby?
Yes, Mom.
No, Bobby. Not unless you take a soap and water to go, too.
Soap and water? In my lunch pail? It'll ruin everything.
When you want soap and water to go, you want wash and dry. They refresh while you scrub, get you clean like soap and water, and they don't fall apart like napkins can.
You mean wash and dry can do anything soap and water can do?
That's right.
Let me see you blow bubbles with it.
Wash and dry. Soap and water to go.
He looked up and saw the rich people putting their money into the treasury. He noticed a little old lady putting in two small coins. So he said, this poor widow put in more than anybody. They all put in what was extra, but she put in all she had.
Sometimes it's easy to help the poor. Sometimes it hurts.
The Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Don't take it easy.
President Ford is expected to announce his decision on the question of amnesty for draft dodgers and deserters sometime this coming week. The president is expected to announce some form of conditional amnesty, allowing the men to work their way back into the country. The president talked about it Saturday with Defense Secretary Schlesinger and Attorney General Saxby. Walter Greene, the head of the Disabled American Veterans, says he opposes blanket amnesty.
We think each individual case should be examined. And there may be extenuating circumstances for various individuals, and in that situation, we would be amenable to very light penalties or compensation with our acts of contrition, I guess is the way Mr. Saxby has worded it. For others, we think that their situation is more flagrant, that the act of contrition or the penalty should be substantially greater.
Walter Greene, National Commander of the Disabled American Veterans. The Army is already making plans to process any military deserters who decide to come back. Two installations in Indiana are being prepared. Mike Pappas reports.
The giant Army Finance Center at Fort Benjamin Harrison, Indianapolis, will be processing headquarters for returning Vietnam deserters. The center lists 8,700 men as deserters. Only returning military personnel will be handled here. Draft resistors who are still civilians will be the problem of the Justice Department. The center has been working on processing plans since last Thursday. Details are being kept secret, but Army Major Tom Kalunke said the deserters would undergo normal military processing, such as personnel and medical medical checks, which would end with their dismissal from the service. During the paperwork, the deserters will be sheltered at Camp Atterbury, 40 miles south of Indianapolis. The camp was used for basic training during World War II. German prisoners were also detained here. It is now a National Guard training base and can handle up to 5,000 persons. The Army feels that even if President Ford were to approve an amnesty plan tomorrow, it would be able to begin processing within a few hours. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Camp Atterbury, Indiana.
President Ford on Saturday presented an idea to save the government some money and help curb inflation, but it would mean over 3 million people on the government payroll will have to wait an additional 90 days to get a 5.5% pay raise. The president said if Congress goes along and agrees to hold off the raises until January 1st, that would save about $700 million. The idea drew criticism from the National Federation of Government Employees, its president saying government employees were regarded as poor payment for their dedicated and corruption-free service during the trauma of the last 2 years. Now this.
Are you an ex-Navy man? Been out a while? Well, then you've probably had a pretty good taste of civilian life. So what do you think? Is it what you expected? Is the job exciting enough for you? Is it an important job that satisfies you? Are you really making the most of yourself? You may want to think about re-enlisting in the Navy. You've got the experience the Navy needs, the experience that'll help you make the most of yourself back in the Navy. And maybe you'd like to travel some more, or maybe you want shore duty. Chances are there's a Navy program to fit your interests. And chances are you'll be right back at your old rate. Think about it. Talk to your local recruiter. He'll be glad to see an old Navy man. Or call this toll-free number anytime. 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Make the most of yourself. Re-enlist in the Navy.
Secretary of State Kissinger is doing something he doesn't do very often. He's taking a vacation. Kissinger and his wife Nancy are staying at a beachfront cottage at St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. Saturday, the Kissingers went for a swim and relaxed on the beach. They plan to stay in the Virgin Islands about 5 days. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.